This hour, we're going to talk about my tunes. Let me ask you guys a question. If I asked you to hand me your iPod, how many of you would be ashamed to allow me to sift through your songs and see what all you had on there? Good, I don't see any hands. I see a couple of hands, okay? Let me ask you this. Why would you be ashamed? Is it because you have something on that iPod that maybe you shouldn't? Are you listening to music maybe that a Christian ought not be listening to? As you look at your worksheet, I want you to notice that first question. I want us to discuss this for just a moment. Then I'm going to show you guys a video here in a minute that might show us a little bit about the kind of effect that music has on us. Okay? What does the music that you listen to say about you? If I were to take your iPod and I were to sift through your music, I were to listen to the music that you listen to, what would I find out about you? What kind of person would I think you were? Are you getting my point? What music you listen to says a lot about you, right? What do you think about a person that rolls up beside you with the window down and all you hear is thumping? What do you think? Play their music way too loud for one. You don't know about the kind of music they listen to, and so forth and so on. All right, I'm a guy that I like bass in my music just like anybody else, but I don't care to have my whole head vibrating. All right. What about the lyrics of the music? You know, sometimes I'm guilty of this. Sometimes I'll be listening to a song, and I'm not really I like the music of it. But then when I really start to pay attention to the lyrics, man, I change the channel on my radio real quick. When I realize that that's not a song that I need to be listening to. Okay, so there are certain things that Christians need to consider when it comes to what I may have on my iPod. Now, let me ask you this. Let's say that you have some profanity-laced music on your iPod. How many of you would say that it affects you? It affects you, okay? You know, there are a good many teenagers that you talk to, my music don't affect me. I am who I am because that's just who I am. My music has nothing to do with who I am. Guys, I couldn't be further from the truth. Music affects you whether you realize it does or not. With the video that I'm about to show you here in just a second, it's going to show us the effect that music can have on someone. We're going to watch about 5 minutes of it. And I want you to notice the change in this man. Now, this man is in the nursing home. And they're going to play him some music from his day, some music that he really likes. And he goes from almost a vegetative state, he's almost non-responsive, to when they put the music on him, he comes alive. Okay? And then when they take him off, they can pretty much ask him any questions they want to ask him. And he's responsive now. And I want you to look at that, and I want you to see the correlation that music has and the effect that music can have on a person's brain. And I want you to realize that effect that music has on you. All right? Let's go ahead and watch this video real quick.
I have one resident that barely opened her eyes. She didn't respond. As much as I tried, I knew her for 2 years. No matter what I tried, massage wouldn't work, nothing worked. But when we got introduced to the iPods and the family told me the things that she liked, it was amazing once we put the iPod on her. She started shaking her feet. She started moving her head. Her son was just amazed. Okay, can we stop? Because now I'm getting OR. I'm seeing her all over again.
Hi, Papa. Hi, Papa.
Huh?
How you doing?
I'm all right. Fine.
Who?
Wait.
Who am I?
I don't know.
Okay, it's Cherry.
How long has he been in the nursing home? Approximately 10 years. He was having seizures, and my mother couldn't handle him at home. Of course, it affected me greatly because he was always you know, fun-loving, singing, you know, every occasion he would come out with a song, no matter where he was. I remember as a child, he used to walk us down the street, me and my brother, and he would stop and do Singing in the Rain. He would have us jumping and swinging around poles. He was, you know, he was good. He was always into music, you know, always loved singing, dancing.
His name is Henry Drea.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking more or less for religious music for him.
Okay.
Because he enjoys music and he always quotes in the Bible. So I'd rather have that for him.
We first see Henry inert, maybe depressed, unresponsive, and almost unalive.
Henry.
Yeah.
Henry.
Yes, y'all.
I found your music. You want your music now? Let's try your music, okay? And then you tell me if it's too loud or not.
Then he is given an iPod containing, we know, his favorite music. And immediately he lights up. His face assumes expression. His eyes open wide. He starts to sing and to rock and to move his arms, and he's being animated by the music.
And he used to always sit on the unit with his head like this. He didn't really talk to much people. And then when I introduce the music to him, this is his reaction ever since.
The philosopher Kant once called music the quickening art, and Henry is being quickened. He's being brought to life.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the music for 1 second, okay? Just to ask you a few questions. Okay?
Thank you.
I'm going to give it back to you.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
The effect of this doesn't stop, because when the headphones are taken off, Henry, normally mute and virtually unable to answer the simplest yes or no questions, is quite voluble.
Henry?
Yeah?
Do you like the iPod? Do you like the music you're hearing?
Yes.
Tell me about your music.
Well, I don't have one, I mean.
Do you like music?
Yeah, I'm crazy about music. You play beautiful music, beautiful sound.
Did you play music when you were? Did you like music when you were young?
Yes. I went to big dances and things.
What was your favorite music when you were young?
Well, I guess, Cab Calloway was my number one band guy. I like.
What's your favorite Cab Calloway song?
Oh. I'll be home there for Christmas. You can count and plan on me with plenty of snow, mistletoe, present, red brand new tree. Ow!
So, in some sense, Henry is restored to himself.
Kind of effect did you see music have on that man? Changed his life, didn't it? Here was a man that was almost totally unresponsive. He wasn't even able to answer the simplest yes or no questions, and you put some headphones on his ears, you let him listen to that music for a little bit, that music from his era, the music that he had used to listen to, and it transformed him, didn't it? What does that tell you about music's effect on your brain, on your mind? It has more of an effect than we realize. Music, the music that we listen to, guys, it's going to infiltrate, whether we realize it or not, our being. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been listening to the radio or listening to your iPod or something, and you start to move to the music, and you don't realize it until you look up and your friends are laughing at you? I've done that plenty of times. I look over, my wife's laughing at me. Some of the movements that I'm making to the music, and I don't even realize that I'm doing it. because the music has that type of effect on you. So as you're listening to your iPod and you're listening to these different songs, we need to realize the effect that our music has on us. Now, there are certain bands that I'm sure that each one of us likes, but each one of those bands probably has songs that we don't need to be listening to. Or if we do listen to those bands and we listen to those songs, we have to buy the heavily edited versions, right? Well, we ought to be. We talked a little bit about music in our first session this morning for some of you that were in here. What do you often see on a lot of these CDs or albums that you go and try to buy on iTunes? You see warning labels, don't you? And those warning labels say what about that particular CD, that particular music? All right, explicit language. All right, what does that mean, explicit language? All right, it's not good. It's going to have language in it that a child, a minor, according to the warning label, should not be listening to. Friends, that means that nobody ought to be listening to that stuff. There shouldn't be a single person listening to that kind of stuff. And then you go and buy one of those CDs, or if one of those songs has to be playing on the radio, you can't tell what the song is about because every other word is bleeped out. It's ridiculous. And yet, guys, when I asked you if you would let me see your iPod and how many of you would be ashamed for me to let you see it, a few of you raised your hands, guys. There's a problem with that. You ought to be able to hand your iPod to your parents or to anybody else and feel fine about doing so. The music that you listen to, whether you realize it or not, is going to define who you are. It can have an effect on you. A lot of these rap songs and even some of the rock songs, I like some rock bands, I like country music, I like some of these, but you know, some of them, what do some of these songs talk about? You listen to the rock bands of the 80s. Any of you ever get the Monsters of Rock CD? What are the majority of those songs about? Drugs and what? Sex. That's what they're about. Living the rock star life. Is that the life for a Christian? Nope. Do I need to be listening to those songs? Shouldn't be listening to those songs as a Christian, should I? Well, what are a lot of country songs about? Beer. All right? One of the popular ones here lately is Just Another Drinking Song. Right? You listen to a lot of Kenny Chesney songs. They're all about being down at the beach with a beer in your hand. That's what these country songs are about. Should a Christian be partaking in that type of music? No. What kind of effect does that kind of music have on you? You take the media in general. How does the world look at going out and partying on the weekends and having a good time? Nothing wrong with it, right? That's what the world says. Nothing wrong with that. You can go out and you can get drunk on the weekend all you want to, as long as you're ready to go back to work on Monday morning, right? That's the type of effect that our television, our movies, our books, and our music is having on us, guys. We don't take those things so seriously anymore. It's not a big deal. It's, you know, I may not do it, but I'm not going to condemn these people out here because they go and do it. I might even go and just hang out with them while they're doing it. It's not a big deal. You remember those bracelets that were going around, I guess I'm telling my age a little bit, back when I was in high school, I guess, when you guys were in elementary, junior high, said WWJD. What did that mean? What would Jesus do, right? What would Jesus do? You think Jesus would listen to a song that talked all about beer? That talked about drugs and sex. What is a Christian to be? And Mike was talking about it last night and today, right? We are as Christians to be holy. What does that mean? To do what? To be set apart. To be like who? Christ. To be like Christ. If Jesus, if I don't feel that Jesus would have listened to that music, what in the world am I doing listening to it? Can't answer that, can you? If Jesus wouldn't listen to it, why am I listening to it? Now, someone says, well, you know, what's wrong with a little profanity in my music? Well, what's wrong with one cuss word in my music? Huh? All right. Sin is sin, right? Sin is sin. Sins aren't ranked. Sin is sin. So what's wrong with one little cuss word in my favorite song? All right. It's there just waiting to surface, isn't it? It's in my thoughts. It's now in my vocabulary. What did we talk about our tongue earlier this morning? If we're going to get control of our tongue, we have to be on guard against certain things, right? If we're going to be in control of my tongue, I've got to watch what kind of music that I listen to. What happens if I continually put that stuff into my mind? Begin to think like that, don't I? Begins to have that type of effect on me. The video that we just watched. Is there any doubt whatsoever in your mind now the effect that the music can have on your brain, on your mind? There's not in mine. What's likely to happen if I continually listen to profanity-laced music? It's going to become part of you, right? It's going to be something that you get involved with, and now that guard that you put on your mouth, that you put on your lips, it's going to come down. Why must a Christian be so careful as to what he or she listens to? Well, it's going to become part of your life, but what else?
Others are watching.
Others are watching. All right, that goes back to that influence thing that we talked about last session, right? Those of you that were in here for the cross appeal session. The influence that we have is going to be damaged, isn't it? Well, what happens if a friend, when you guys, if you're not already, when you guys get old enough to drive, what happens when a friend hops in your car and you pop in a CD and every other word's a curse word? You ever going to be able to talk to them about the gospel? Why? Hypocrite. I'm not going to listen to anything you've got to say. You listen to the same music I listen to. You're no different than I am. How are you going to talk to me about Jesus? How are you going to talk to me about God? That's what they're going to say. That's what they're going to think. You're not going to be able to talk to them about that. So why is it so important what I listen to? Why is it so important what's on my iPod? I'm not going to tell you who the young man is, but I recently talked to a young man. Became a Christian last year that told me that he had to go back and he had to delete a lot of stuff on his iPod when he became a Christian because he realized he shouldn't be listening to those things. How many of us as Christians have that type of open mind that when we realize that something is wrong, we'll put it away? I hope that we all do. That we come to that realization that we shouldn't be partaking part of this. Now, I want us to look at some scriptures, and I want us to apply this to what we listen to our music. I want us to turn, first of all, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and I want us to read verse 33. You got it, DJ? Go ahead. All right. King James says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. All right. Now, a lot of times when we look at this, and rightly so, we talk about the friends that we have, right? But I want us to think about this on the flip side of this. If we are the one that is, as we call ourselves a Christian, but we are the ones that are setting the improper example, what might we have done to the people that we're trying to reach with God's word? might have alienated them to such an extent that we could never reach them. Now let's turn now to Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse 73. Someone read verse 73. Who's got it?
After a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art the one of them, for thy speech reigneth
with me. All right, what do we talk about if we listen, if we constantly listen to music, we're constantly putting that stuff into our minds, what's eventually going to come out? Those curse words, that profanity laced sentences are going to start permeating our speech, right? How did Peter try to convince the people that he was not part of Jesus' crew? He swore. How would that set him apart from Jesus? What'd the people know about Jesus? He was sinless. He didn't have that kind of language. He didn't use that kind of language. So when Peter swore, what'd they come to realize? Or what did they think was true? They thought Peter was telling the truth, right? Peter had been telling them, I don't know that man. I know not that man. And finally when I said, yes you do, you're one of them because we can tell by your accent. What did Peter do? He swore. I know not the man. He cursed. And they realized, he's not with Jesus. Jesus doesn't use that kind of language. In the same token, do you think Jesus ever listened to that kind of language? No. And if we are to be holy, we are to be Christ-like. Should we listen to that kind of language? No. All right, what about, let's go to Colossians 4. Colossians 4. Verse 6. Who's got it?
Let your speech always be with grace, without season with salt, so that you will know how you will know how you should respond.
All right, if my speech is to be pure, if it is to be seasoned with salt, how long is it going to stay that way if I'm not listening, if I am listening to the wrong kinds of music? It's not going to stay that long, that way very long. Okay? And that's what it keeps coming back to, guys. What is your music going to say about you? If you're listening to music that uses that type of language, what are people not going to think of you that you're using that type of language? Yeah, you listen to it. So you're probably using it. Titus 2 and verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Again, it's what you put in. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 1 and verse 16. 1 Peter 1 and verse 16. Here's the kicker, guys. 1 Peter 1 and verse 16. You shall be holy. Why? Why?
Because he's holy.
That's what that for there means. Because. For this reason. You shall be holy. Again, to whom is Peter writing? He's writing the Christians, right? You Christians, you shall be holy for this reason. Because I am holy. What God says, right? Guys, how can we be holy if we're not careful about what we're listening to? How? I know of too many folks, guys, your age, some even a little younger, that when I hear what's coming out of their headphones, it's pure trash. It's pure trash. It's songs about things that at that age they ought not even know about, for one thing. And number two, there's just profanity laced. There, every other word that needs to be bleeped out, it doesn't need to have anything to do with, it doesn't even have anything to do with the song. Has no effect to it. And yet folks are listening to these songs and they're singing them word for word, not even knowing what they mean. Guys, we've got to be careful concerning what we put into our minds lest they come out. Now forget the profanity-laced stuff for a moment. What about music that's, as we talked a little bit about, what about music that's violent? That talks about going out and killing someone, or doing this or doing that. It's violent in nature. Remember, guys, the video we just watched on the effect that music can have on someone's brain. How do you think that affects you if you're listening to music that's talking about those violent acts? How do you think you might respond when you get angry? You might think of that, right? You may be more liable to act a little more violently. Now, you can't blame your actions on the music that you listen to. You can't run off and sue the record label that put out that CD. You're still ultimately responsible for your actions, guys, but what we're talking about there is the effect that music can have upon you. The music that we listen to. The Christian has to take all of those things into consideration. Well, you know, that's just too much, Josh. You know, I can't be thinking about those things all the time. And besides, you know, that's my favorite artist. That's my favorite song. Really, you want me to stop listening to that? Guys, if you don't hear anything else I say, I want you to listen to me right now. It doesn't matter one bit what I or Michael Lott or Jacob Rutledge or Mike Vestal say to you this weekend. What matters is what you guys find right here in the Word of God. That's it. And if you want your music to be in line with the Word of God, then you have to take certain things into consideration. What is this song about? What kind of words does he use to describe what this song is about? And ultimately, what does this song say about me as I strive to represent Christ in this world? What does it say? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Someone read verse 8. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. All right. Blessed are the what in heart?
Pure.
How do I keep my mind pure?
Listening to
pure music. All right. In this context, listening to pure music. We want it to be pure of profanity. We want it to be pure of vulgarity. We don't want it. We don't want those types of things in what we listen to. And guys, that applies across the board. That applies to what I watch. That applies to what I read. That applies to every facet of my life. Blessed are the pure in heart. Why? What's the end of the verse say? Okay. What does that tell me then? If my heart is not pure, I don't get to see God. I want to see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. Let's turn to Philippians 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8. I want you to read this one with me. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Everybody got it? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You want a simple test to see whether or not your music lines up with what God's Word says? Compare it to Philippians 4 and verse 8. Is the music that you listen to true? Doesn't mean that your music can't tell a fictional story. That's not what that means. Okay? Whatsoever things are honest, is your music honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of good report? Is there any virtue about it? Is there any praise? Or does it take away from those things? How does what's on your iPod right now, how does that line up with God's Word? And if it doesn't, guys, you ought to be taking it off. Finally, I want us to look at James 1 and verse 27. James 1 and verse 27. Everybody got it? Let's read it together. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And here's what I want you to key in on right now. And to keep himself, what? Unspotted from the world. All right, under the Old Testament, what type of lamb had to be offered unto God? One that was pure. The one that was without what? Without blemish, without spot. Right? We sang the song a little while ago, to become a lamb of God, right? How are we to offer ourselves unto God? Just read it, guys. Unspotted, right? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to what? To keep himself unspotted from the world. Guess what that includes? My music. That includes my music. What I put in. We asked a question in an earlier session. If you put trash in, what do you get out? You get trash out, right? Trash in, trash out. You ever thrown a bunch of trash in a trash can and went back a little while later and picked out a bar of gold? I haven't. It's still trash. Your mind doesn't have that filter that it can pick and choose what it's going to keep and what it's going to throw out. Some of those images, and the mind is a powerful thing, some of those things are going to stick with you for years. We just saw that, didn't we? Now, let's go back to our first question. What does the music you listen to say about you as a Christian? If others were to take the headphones off your ears and they were to plug them, they were to put them onto theirs, and they were to listen to the song that you were listening to at that moment, what would they think about you? Let's take that a step further. What if it were Christ himself? Would he count you among his children? Would he count you among his friends? or to count you an enemy as a friend of Satan. Why is all of this so? Why take the time, guys, for us to sit here and talk about this today? Does it really matter? I hope that it does. It should. It ought to matter to you. And I hope that by you sitting here today says that it matters to you, considering all the things that we've discussed. Guys, whether you ever realize it or not, the music that you listen to is going to affect who you are. Let me tell you this. How many of you play sports? How many of you play baseball? A few of you? A lot of times, I know when I was in high school and playing travel ball and things, we could give a particular song to whoever was running the sound system, and they would play that song whenever we would come to the plate. What do you think the purpose was behind having that particular song before you stepped in the box? Got to do what? Pumped you up, didn't it? You football players, what type of music do you listen to before a football game? You listen to classic? You listen to some Beethoven? Why not? Huh? It's too mellow, isn't it? It doesn't get you ready for it. You're going to go out, you listen to Beethoven, you go out on the football field, you're going to get your head knocked off, right? You're in a relaxed state. You're not ready to go and play ball. Does that right there not tell you guys what kind of effect music has on you? You listen to a certain type of music before you step in a batter's box, before you step on a football field or a basketball court or whatever. You're getting yourself ready. You're getting yourself pumped, ready to go. See, those types of music get your adrenaline flowing. It gets you going. It gets you ready to go and play. You listen to a different kind of music before you lay down to go to sleep, don't you? You listen to something that's going to relax you, something that's going to get you ready to close your eyes and go to sleep. It's not going to do you any good to listen to the same music that you listen to before you step on a football field, before you get ready to go to sleep. Are you not going to sleep a wink all night? That's the power of what you're listening to. That's the power of what you're putting in your minds. So why is it so important that a Christian get control of his tunes? Because it's eventually, may even right now, be defining who you are. Be careful what you put into your mind. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. That's who he is. And if I constantly listen to music that Christians ought not be listening to, then I'm eventually not going to be a Christian as I ought to be. We've got like 1 minute. All right? When we look at the Scripture and we understand the effect that music has on people, and guys, we ought to understand that as a Christian, the example that I set for others concerning my music is very serious. And the effect that it can have on me is very serious. What does the music you listen to say about you? And I hope you guys continue to think on those things as we go our separate ways this weekend. I appreciate your attention, guys.